We are recording. All right, loves. Hello and welcome to Masterclass 3. I've changed my setup a little bit today and I think this works a lot better. So we're going to continue with this one, I think. Thank you to those of you joining me live. I'm really excited to dive into today's class. Someone's just revving their car outside. So sorry about that noise. Hopefully they leave soon. So today's class, actually, before we get started, give me a word in the comments. How are you feeling? How are you feeling as you're coming in? Kylie, you know, everyone who comes in one of my classes comes to know my very weird obsession with lighting. And I'm only happy when my lighting is good. And Kylie said, the light looks lovely on you today. And yeah, I've been playing around for the past hour trying to get my lighting looking the way I like it, and I'm happy with this right now. So I'm very relaxed when my lighting is good. And yes, I did get a haircut, Gemma. I got a haircut and I got a hair color. So we're lighter, blonder, and shorter. I feel so much better. Thank you. Oh, can this person revving outside just leave? I can just hear this car going. Row, row. They just need to leave already. Yeah, isn't it funny how just, you know, a cut and a color lightens you up. Sophia feeling overwhelmed with a side of underlying panic. Honey, I was feeling that yesterday. So I'm going to talk a lot about that feeling. I saw your post in our Facebook group and I hadn't commented on it yet, but I made a mental note of what you're feeling because I was in that process yesterday and I went through a lot around it. So I want to, I'm going to touch on that in the class today. Gemma's saying, she's saying peaceful. Anyone else got any feelings for me as we're starting the class? So Kylie, can't find a word today, but I'm feeling heaviness. All right. These are all things I'm going to touch on. I'm going to touch on overwhelm and heaviness and everything that's going on. So today's class, the actual theme of today's class is fear. We're going to talk about a lot of different sort of flavors, as I would call it, flavors of fear, and the different ways that fear energy plays out for us, whether it is comparison, self-doubt, perfectionism, procrastination, you know, all these kind of things, feeling not good enough. These are all just, as I like to say, different flavors of fear. All of these things that play out for us, even overwhelm, all of it is originating from and coming from us being embodied in that moment, an energy of fear. And so I'm going to start the class talking a little bit about fear and how we actually, how to work with this when this really comes in and becomes very present for us, how to identify and understand really how fear is expressing itself for us in that moment. And then we'll talk about some of the specifics of how this plays out and how we can work through it. I hope it's going to be a really cool class, and I hope it's going to be one of these classes similar to Masterclass 2 that you can probably revisit a lot, and we'll find it's a real foundational part of our mastermind journey. So thank you to those of you who are joining me live. Fatimata, I can see you here. Hello. I hope it's not too late for you when you're logging in, but thank you for being here. I'm seeing all different people join. Beautiful. As you're joining, give me a hello in the comments box. Let me know that you're here. Yeah, love to know who's here with me. Okay, so let's start just talking about, particularly energetically, like what the heck has been going on. Because I'm going to be really transparent. I've been in such a personal process for the past 3 to 4 weeks of working through my own crap, working through my own fear, working through my own resistance, having all my stuff come up. And at times getting so lost in that fear-based perspective. So we know, and we talked about this a lot last masterclass. Oh, isn't that funny how lighting pops in and out? Now it goes dim. It annoys me when that happens. It's because the lighting's changed behind me. Hang on a second. Friends, I don't know how to not get distracted by this. It's like a real thing for me. Oh, it's not gonna work. Where's my light switch? I don't know. Oh, I'm just going to have to deal with it. Sorry, it's so distracting for me when my lighting changes. And it's just because the sun's going to come in now behind me. Oh, ugh, I just can't stress about it. Okay. Sorry, it really rattles me. Okay, Connie, center. All right. So what had been playing out for me was I was getting really lost in and very absorbed in the fear-based voice that was playing out in my mind. And I had been completely letting it overtake me and rule me. Kylie, don't feel like, I know, I just want my light bright. I don't want it to dim. Why does it dim? And I had been letting the energy of fear rule and control me and actually stop me showing up in a lot of ways. So I had this really interesting experience yesterday where I was in meditation and I was just getting all of this guidance about showing up, being seen, expressing, using my voice, and just getting out there, right? And just showing up in my work. But there was so much fear energy around that. And just to comment on what you guys were mentioning. So for example, heaviness. Oh my God, it's annoying me. Sorry, I'm premenstrual as well, and it totally affects my presence. Okay. Connie, breathe. This is so funny. All right, the heaviness for me that was playing out for me was me resisting what my guidance was telling me. And it was resisting following the guidance, and it was instead letting fear stop me. So I've been really spinning my wheels and treading water lately because I've been letting fear stop me follow through on my inner guidance. But yesterday I had an experience where I got on a live and I just got on and started speaking on live video, and it completely unlocked all of this heaviness, all of this overwhelm, all of this stuckness that I had been feeling. And the thing that allowed me to unlock the stuckness was to step into the very thing I didn't want to do, was to take the very action I didn't want to take, and was to break through my fear. And I actually want to give this to you just as an opening point. I want you to think of something at the moment that you have been avoiding, doing, stepping into, or taking action on out of fear. I want you to find the one biggest thing that you're avoiding at the moment because you're afraid. And so anytime when we have like that wave of inspiration, ideas, energy move through us, and we say, I can't because I'm afraid, I can't do that, I don't want to do that, we block the flow of energy and we start to feel heaviness. And for me as well, overwhelm and panic, as Sophia described, comes in when I'm thinking too much and I'm not acting enough. And what I noticed yesterday is in my willingness to just step in, and I got on a live and it wasn't my best live ever and I didn't love it. And, my whole mind was firing off the whole time about why I wasn't happy with it. But taking that action unlocked so much energy for me. And I spent the rest of the afternoon like in a flow working and just stuff pouring out of me and just feeling so ready now to get into more action and show up even more. So here's what I want to talk about with fear. It's never about whether or not fear is there for you, because fear is most likely always going to be present with you, particularly if you are stepping outside your comfort zone. And I talked a lot yesterday about this upper limit thing that many of us encounter on our journeys of expansion. So you've got your comfort zone, and then you've got the edge of your comfort zone, and that edge of your comfort zone is like your upper limit. And when you start to get to your upper limit of what you feel comfortable with, part of you is going to try to pull you back down to where it's safe and comfortable. So it's never about whether or not fear plays out, because fear will play out when you are on your edge. Fear will come up for you when you are about to break through to something brand new. Fear will come up for you when you're about to step into new territory, when you're about to discover something new about yourself, when you're about to grow, when you're about to up-level. So we never want to make fear wrong. We never want to like think it's a bad thing or judge ourselves for feeling afraid. We want to get excited because that's an indication we're growing. And all we need to do is change our relationship to that fear. That's all. And that's where I want to open up with you. You don't have to make your fear go away. You don't have to fix your fear. You don't have to even analyze it. You just have to change your relationship to it. Beautiful. I feel big resistance to show myself. I committed to being more present on social media. I want it, but I don't know why it feels so difficult to me. Honey, I relate so much. I've been working through big visibility stuff in myself. And I said this on the live yesterday. The only way to get comfortable being visible is to be visible. When it comes to being seen, expressing our work in the world, sharing our messages, you know, you can do inner work on that until the cows come home. And you can heal your inner child and you can journal about it, and that is beautiful. But none of that actually moves you forward. The only thing that moves you forward is to actually do the very thing that you kind of don't want to do. Do a post, share your message, share yourself, be visible. And it is going to be uncomfortable. And this is part of the problem, is we resist things that make us uncomfortable. But we don't realize discomfort is a sign you're growing. Comfort is a sign you're stagnating and you're safe. Discomfort is a sign you're growing. So it's like changing our relationship to discomfort and changing our relationship to fear. Ah, Gemma, like, I've become this person that speaks about ideal scenarios rather than the real shit I'm going through. I felt so vulnerable yesterday. I got on live and I was just like really real, and everything in me was like, Connie, this is messy and clunky and not good. Like, even like today, like, I'm just letting you see really real how I'm feeling, that I've actually got some frustration energy. I had a fight with my boyfriend last night and I'm still kind of frustrated over that. And you know, what I even said on the live is, bring it all with you. You don't have to be perfect to show up. You don't have to get rid of your emotions or your fear or your messiness to show up. You bring it with you and you just be real in it. And to be honest with you, I don't love this part of myself a lot. I judge this part of myself a lot. I'm like, Connie, I just wish you could just sometimes not show these aspects of yourself. But it's also like, okay, well, I'm showing up today and this is present with me. So I'm just going to bring it and I'm going to funnel it into what I'm doing. Sophia, it's almost like I feel afraid of myself at the moment. I had a period of feeling so much joy and alignment, and then I think my body felt overwhelmed and didn't know how to manage such a sudden change. And I've tried grounding and practices to align, but it seems overpowering. Gemma says, I love it. It makes you relatable. Thank you. I appreciate that. Very real and human over here today. My scent, like, what I'm really realizing is, action is the antidote in a lot of ways. Action and movement. And I even said that the reason I went live yesterday is because I was sitting there spinning my wheels, thinking about all this stuff, but actually getting on and talking and letting energy move through me unlocked a lot. So I'd almost ask you, if any of you are feeling this, where am I not taking action? Where am I being shown? Where am I pulling back, hesitating, stopping, stagnating out of fear? And if you can follow the flow of energy, it will unlock a lot for you. So what I ask you, yeah, Gemma, I'm thinking about myself as a client. How would I coach my best friend on this topic? Beautiful, beautiful. So I ask you in the workbook here, one, how do you typically respond when you feel fear? Now, you might not realize that it's fear. Fear can manifest as resistance. Fear can manifest as overwhelm. Fear can manifest as panic. Fear can manifest as wanting to shut down and avoid. Fear can manifest as anxiety. Fear can manifest as not believing in yourself, doubting yourself, questioning yourself, believing the limiting stories. Like, I literally had a limiting story going on that I've been believing. And this voice in my head was saying to me, I just want people to forget about me. That's what it was saying. It was like, I just want people to forget about me. I just want to not do the podcast and not post and just start going invisible and have people forget about me. And I literally was believing that voice. I was like, yeah, I think that's going to be the best thing for me to do. Bullshit. Oh my God. So when fear energy plays out for you, do you, one, believe it? Do you believe that voice in your head? Do you give it all your power and go, yep, fear, you're right. I shouldn't show up. I shouldn't shine my light. I shouldn't be seen. I have nothing valuable to offer. Who wants to hear from me? It's already been said. It's already been done. Do you give all your power to that? Do you let it manifest through your body? So you let yourself sit in that energy and feel it. And do you let it guide your actions? So do we let fear completely take over our actions and rule everything that we're doing? And what does it look like when fear takes over your action? You will most likely avoid, procrastinate, you know, make excuses, hide, go to the fridge, go to Netflix, do everything I've been doing. Kylie, I'd have tracked you down if you did. Gemma's saying me too. I'm sure a lot of people would have been like, what the F is going on here? But it's crazy the things your mind convinces you of. Dawn, I bought a new car on my own last Thursday. No one knows. The vehicle is in transit. I plan to bring it home and then show and tell it to my husband and mother. Oh, look at that. That's awesome. Had you had fear come up around that, Dawn, or are you just like owning that? Yes. Thank you, Fatimata. Self-doubt, no action, and a lot of overthinking. And don't judge yourself for that. I completely relate, but I'm really glad you're here in this class because we need to work through this, right? And we need to actually flip and do the opposite. So if we've got self-doubt, no action, and overthinking going on, instead what we need to do is practicing self-belief, getting into action, and just stop thinking about it. Easier said than done, but that's going to be the work. So how would you like to be able to handle and respond to your fear when it plays out? And what meaning can you assign to this that makes it a lot more empowering and exciting for you? So for example, when fear has been playing out for me, instead what I want to be able to do is witness it and say, okay, fear is really present for me today. And fear is present for me, not because anything's gone wrong, but because I'm about to expand. I'm growing. I'm literally getting guided to take a step that is going to help me move my life forward. I'm about to break through my comfort zone and be more visible and be more heard and reveal who I really am. And so part of me wants to protect me from that. But this is an exciting thing. If I'm feeling uncomfortable, ooh, this means I'm about to go through some growth. Yes, exciting, awesome. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to expand. I'm ready to discover new parts of myself. I'm ready to discover what I'm capable of. I can do this. Okay. And how would you like to be able to handle that fear? And so what I said yesterday in my live, and what I want to give you as a practice is you bring the fear with you. This is kind of like feel the fear and do it anyway, but I don't want you to just disconnect from that fear. I want you to really be like, take a moment to feel it and be like, there is fear present in my body. This is playing out as resistance, like discomfort. Okay, but what is the step I'm being guided to take? All right, let's bring the fear with me and just do it. Okay, as my lighting goes dark again. Dawn, I've also let editors and published authors know I'm writing a memoir. Well done. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let's just pop this in. Oh, friends. Friends, friends, friends. So beautiful. So action, action, action. I want you to let me know in the comments, what is one action you could take that maybe at the moment you're feeling afraid about, but you know would move you forward and would help get you unstuck? Tell me in the comments. I want to know from all of you, because this is the very thing you need to do. And it's the only thing that's going to work. And look, there's a lot of inner work we can do around fear. You know, we can bring a lot of self-compassion, a lot of self-love, a lot of self-understanding. We can journal with our inner child. We can journal with our fear. We can understand why we're afraid. We can love and nurture ourselves through that and encourage ourselves. I know you're afraid, but you can do this. But ultimately, the only thing that is really going to get us beyond it is to show up and take the step. Beautiful, Dawn. Write a blog about me writing a book. Do it. When are you going to write and publish that blog, Dawn? Because we all want to read it. You got feisty, Connie, today. What else? I want to hear everyone else's. Give me a step, my loves. Come on, let's do it. So we need to take back our power from that fear. We would need to remember who we are beyond that fear. We need to be coming into our hearts and letting our loving inner guidance lead us, not our fear. What else do I have here about fear? We need to make the choice that even though fear is present for us, it is no longer going to be the energy that rules us. Like, I can't tell you how freeing and liberating it is to no longer be ruled by this energy. And I also want to tell you, for any of you who are having visibility blocks, and I'm going to come to your comments in a minute. Any of you who are having visibility blocks, at this time last year, I had never done an Instagram Live ever. So Instagram Live was like my terror step. Like I would go into a terror spiral over the idea of doing an Instagram Live. I would sit there with my finger on the live button for like 2 hours sweating and I couldn't press the button. I just couldn't do it. And then I was in Burleigh Heads last March doing a photo shoot. And there was just this really strong feeling of like, you have to go live. So again, I sat there for like an hour, finger on the button. And then I'd be like, no, I can't. And I'd run to the toilet. And then I'm like, hey, can I come back? And finally I did it. And I was like dripping with sweat and I was nervous and my voice was shaking. But I can't tell you how free I felt to no longer be ruled by that fear. And so like literally this time last year, I'd never done a live, couldn't do them. I still get nervous when I do them, but I have reclaimed my power and how free I am to no longer be ruled by that. And the only way I overcame it was to literally just step in and do it. And then I built enough, I built my confidence along the way. I said this to a friend yesterday, we were talking about self-doubt and she said, why are you doubting yourself? And I was like, you know what? It's not even relevant why I'm doubting myself. All I've realized is I don't have to, that doubt doesn't have to go away for me to move forward. I'm just going to bring the doubt with me and I'm going to build my belief along the way. You don't have to wait and build self-belief before you get into action. You build the belief along the way. Okay, let's read what you guys are going to be doing. Your steps. Gemma. Commit to the coach documents and schedule and kick off a presentation as the coach I'm becoming. Beautiful. Beautiful. Sophia, oh, come on. I honestly don't even know. I feel like I just need to sit with myself and meditate and feel into my feelings I have. Beautiful. Okay. Sorry, you've got fierce Connie today, but I feel you, honey. That actually was very much me for the past week. So that's actually a really valuable thing to do. So what I had been doing for the past week is I've been sitting with my heart every day and I've been asking, I've been like, come on heart, show me what do I need to do? What do you want? What do you desire? And the reason I got on live yesterday was because my guidance was literally just yelling at me all morning saying, express, express, express. And they said to me, Connie, your purpose this year, your number one purpose is expression. And so the reason I got on the live was because it was made really clear to me through that process of sitting with my feelings and tuning in that there was no more one important step than me expressing and being seen. So perhaps, Sophia, beautiful, sit with those feelings with the intention of receiving the guidance on what the step is you need to take and it will come to you. I feel I need to practice more and more public speaking. Beautiful. What would be your first step to do that? Because that's a big thing. And public speaking, to be honest, is one of the most terrifying things, you know. What would be your very first small baby step to practice more public speaking? Dawn, That's how buying the car is, taking the fear with me daily until it shows up. I realized one fear is I'm afraid my husband won't love me anymore. Boom. That's big, Dawn. That's big. That's a huge fear, but you still honored yourself and your truth. You practice so much courage. Courage, my friends. Such a beautiful quality. There is no courage without fear. And I just want you each to just decide to be courageous. You know? Kylie, on the weekend, I went and bought weight loss shakes, but your first comment about doing things out of fear rang true because I bought them out of the fear that I could not trust my body to know what to eat. But I have no idea how this relates to my one thing I need to do. Okay, beautiful. Thank you for your honesty. It's okay. You know what? Sometimes it's not, we don't always know if the step we're taking is being driven by fear or being driven by our truth. We don't know. The only way we know is to take the step. And then we realize later, oh, maybe that actually came from fear. And that's totally okay. I want to honor you just for taking the step, right? Well done for taking the step. Now, if you later realize, okay, I think that came from fear. Okay, good. That's good feedback. But it also could be really supportive. So if at the moment you have those shakes, they're there, give them a go and see if they help you. That's a step, still a step. But I would also, just keep feeling in if there's, usually the way I know is it's the very step I most don't want to take. Yeah. Okay, let's move on from that. Let's get into a couple of other things around, thank you for everyone who shared, I really appreciate it. Let's get into a couple of these little flavors of fear. I want to talk about comparison because this is a massive one that stops many of us. And even I still get caught in it all the time. And one of the biggest things that I always need to look at when I'm in comparison is I need to get honest. Am I in a space right now of consuming or creating? And usually when I'm looping in comparison, it's because I'm doing way too much consuming and not enough creating, okay? I'm consuming everyone else's stuff and I'm not showing up for my own creative work. Because I know, and this might be an interesting experiment for you to do. I noticed this actually. So when I'm not showing up for my work and I consume other people's stuff, not only does it breed comparison, but it breeds a lot of feelings of like me being not good enough and inferior, and I get frustrated I'm not showing up, I get jealous of them, I'd be really hard on myself, all of this stuff. But when I'm looking at other people's stuff, but I'm also really showing up, I'm actually excited about what they're doing because I'm excited about what I'm doing too. And I'm like, yeah, cool. We're both showing up. Awesome. So it doesn't trigger comparison. It triggers more like inspiration and excitement because I know I'm in the game. I'm showing up for my stuff. They're showing up for their stuff. And I'm excited for both of us. So yeah, beautiful Gemma. Yes, it freezes me in place. It does. So one of the first things, if we are in comparison, it's a really powerful opportunity to look at how much we are consuming. Because you're clogging up your creative channel with other people's ideas, other people's messages, other people's lives, other people's gifts. And there's no room for you. No wonder you don't feel good about yourself in that moment, right? You've got all this admiration energy for someone else, but you're almost completely abandoning and neglecting yourself in that moment. Beautiful. You're coming up as user. I don't know who that is. Hello, my love. Whoever you are, let me know. But you're coming up as user at the moment. But let me know who you are, darling. I've definitely been consuming more than... Oh, Amanda. Hello. I've definitely been consuming more than creating. So I'm working on turning that around. Well done. So that's where we have that. We just need to put in some boundaries around that. But what we need to look at, and I want you to think of, I want you to bring to mind one person who's triggering comparison in you the most. It could be someone online. It could be someone in your friend or family circle. It could be someone you know. But I want you to think about who is triggering comparison for you. at the moment. Make just a little mental note of it. We do this in the workbook. And I want you to think about, here's a question. What are some qualities that you see in this person that you admire, that you envy, that you wish you had in yourself? Okay, so if I'm to think of someone that I typically compare myself to or are envious of, what are the qualities I see in them that I admire and envy? Often it's confidence. Often it is a level of like being really articulate and very wise and intelligent in their messages and what they're sharing. I think I get triggered by people's boldness, you know, people being very bright and shiny and bold, a bit like, look at me, you know. I admire, you know, I really actually get envious of and admire people's willingness to be very raw and vulnerable. So, you know how there's a lot of women, I don't know if you follow these type of women, I do. There's a lot of women who share videos of their bodies and them dancing and maybe them in, you know, their underwear or them doing like feminine goddess dancing or them doing their self-care rituals and maybe they're just in their, you know, crop top and undies and they're doing their self-care. I don't know if you follow women like that, I do. And I get triggered by it and I envy their level of how free and comfortable they feel to like fully just like come out there and be themselves and show their body and own their sensuality and sexuality. And I also get triggered by and compare myself to women making a lot more money than me and women who give the impression that it's very easy. And I'm like, how do you do it? How do you make seven figures and it's so damn graceful? You know, beautiful. People who are self-confident, who know how to talk to anyone, especially when they're younger than me. I envy the lovely traveling mum, my trigger, the lovely traveling mum and dad enjoyed together. Oh, so your parents. She shares lovely memories which make me smile and also make me feel sadness and envy. So what is the quality? Like what is it that they are demonstrating as a quality? Like what does that say or mean about them? So we want to look at sort of the qualities we're seeing in these people. Is it their willingness just to be free or maybe just dig into that a little bit more. And here's what I ask you in the workbook. This is an interesting exercise. So beautiful, Kylie. I envy what I perceive to be their freedom. And freedom can play out in a lot of different ways. So if you're looking at qualities, you might want to spend a little bit more time on this. I want you to look at, are these qualities that you don't believe that you have, that you don't believe you are or have access to? Or are these qualities that you want to embody, but that you don't believe you can? Okay, Don, the quality of love they have for each other. Wow, okay. So are these qualities that you don't believe you have, that, you know, say we're talking about confidence. Is this something that you don't believe you have? Or is it a quality that you actually deep down you really want to embody and implement in your own life, but you don't believe you can? Now, that's usually why it triggers us. That person is showing us something that on some level actually, one, exists within us, and is, two, something that we want, but in that moment we don't believe we can have. Or we don't believe we're capable of or is possible for us. I've never had it with a partner, so I don't believe I can have it. Okay, so this is why things trigger us. And I'm unpacking and comparison a little bit because if we don't unpack it, it can be really crippling. But when we start to unpack it, we can free ourselves from it again. So this whole session is like really freeing ourselves from these patterns because they're so limiting. All right, so what we need to do here is own what our desires are. So you cannot, and I say this in the workbook, and I want you to get this, you cannot see, what did I say here? See in another something that you don't already on some level possess within yourself. I want you to imagine that this person who's triggering you or is creating comparison is your teacher and your mirror. They're helping you see and become aware of something that you are wanting for yourself, that you're wanting in your own life, but you don't believe you can have. So this is where we need to bring it back onto us. Oh, charisma. So this is where you need to bring it back onto yourself. What are the qualities that you can see you're wanting to embody and express more of? If I was to give you my example, everything that I see in those women is deep down something I want to be able to express. I want to be more confident in my expression. I want to be more bold and bright. I want to be more free in letting all these different parts of myself be seen. I want to be much more clear and powerful and articulate in my messages when I'm showing up, say, on like an Instagram Live or something. These are all things I want. But I'm not, rather than like owning that there's something I want and getting to work on them, I just sit here and be envious of other people. Now the thing is, and what you need to realize is what you're feeling is the desire to practice this in your own way, not in the way they have it, not in the way they're doing it, in your own unique way, in your own unique expression of that quality. This is not about needing to be like someone else at all. Charisma is a really great one. Confidence, love. I envy the level of, musicianship that some of the peers or people that I have, that I look up to have, thinking that I could never be that amazing. So this is a really great question. It's like, what would being amazing in my own way look like? So I don't need to be like them. I don't need to show up as the same type of musician, but what do I know would like be, what would it look like for me to be fully being in my most amazing, like being, what's the word I'm looking for? Like exploring and expressing the full potential of my amazingness. Gemma, are there ever things that you think you want and then you realize they don't actually fit for you? 100%. 100%. And sometimes the only way that you know is to try it. Is to try it out. And step into perhaps a certain way of being and see how it feels. And try it on. Then over time you find your own unique way. Like confidence for me looks very different in confidence for someone else. So who was it? Kylie was talking about Amanda Francis and Katrina Ruth, who are, I don't know if you have come across them, but they're making a lot of money, very successful women in business and teaching finances and all this stuff. Now they express their confidence in a very unique way. Very bold, very loud, very expressive, very in your face, very like out there confident. And that's never going to be me. But I can admire those qualities and be like, how do I want to be more of that in my own way? Yeah, I want to just fully own who I am and I want to stand in that and not be afraid what other people think about me and be able to just be like, here's my offering. Hey, I'm selling something. Hey, here's my thing. Come and have a look at it. Hey, here's how I am today. They're so free in how they're being. That's what I admire in them. Gemma, oh, you guys are cute having little comments. Cool, cool. They're having little chats in the comments. Adjust the seams to fit you. So I'm just fixing this lighting, even if it means reshaping the whole dress. What's some examples for you, Gemma, of some qualities that you're wanting, that you have been maybe envying or admiring in others that you're wanting to step into in your own way? And then we can talk about them. So Dawn, that's interesting. I love that Dawn's actually bringing up relationships because that's been a place I've gone into comparison to. I have compared my relationship to other people's. But again, Dawn, if what you're craving, say for example, is a certain type of love and connection, you may not have it the way your parents had it. You may not have it the way anyone else is having it. But the work then is to look at, what am I wanting to create in my partnership? And if I was to look just at me and that person, not anyone else, if I'm wanting to feel more love, more connection, more happiness, what is the work then in this relationship for me to feel more of that? Is it about me embodying and bringing more of that energy? Is it about me having more conversations with my partner about this? Is it about defining what that would look like for me and in this relationship and how we can create that? Yeah. Gemma, freedom of working for myself. But for me, too much freedom would stress me out. I don't really know what it means yet, but I thrive on stability and being grounded. Beautiful. So what you're wanting to work on more within yourself and express in your own unique way is a beautiful balance of grounded and stability and freedom. Beautiful. And you're currently figuring out your own unique way of how that's going to look. And you know, that's actually a beautiful balance of masculine and feminine. Freedom. So freedom's often like the feminine being like, oh, I just want to do what I feel, you know, I just want to follow what I feel and do what feels good in the moment and have the freedom to do that. Whereas we also need the masculine, that's the stability, the structure, the grounding, the foundation. So beautiful. That's a beautiful desire. And now you can just explore that and uncover, how much of the stability and grounding do I need and how much of the freedom do I need and where can I find that sweet spot so that it feels really good to me? And this is not at all about how anyone else does it. It's all about how it's going to feel good to me in my own body. Yes, beautiful. All right. So here's a couple of other things I ask in the workbook around consumption and creativity. I want you to do this in the workbook. What are three things that you can do to reduce your consumption of other people's lives and other people's content? And what are three things you can do to start creating more of what is most important to you? Mm-hmm. It will make a massive difference. Bring your focus and your attention and your energy back to you. And I want you to think about this in every moment. I want you to notice if you're on social media, if you're comparing, notice where you are. So we all have this love energy within us where we can admire something or someone. In that moment that you're admiring someone else, are you abandoning yourself? And if you took that energy of admiration for that person and put it onto yourself, how could you use that to create something magical in your own life? Okay. I want you to think about that. All right. Let's talk about perfectionism. Whew. You can see, and I hope you already can recognize it in me. Connie Chapman is a perfectionist, loves things to be perfect and pretty and loves her lighting to always be exactly how she wants it. Most of us who are creative have perfectionist tendencies and it sometimes can be crippling, like really cripplingly perfectionism driven. And you know, if you've ever read one of my sales pages for any of my courses, oh my god, I can spend hours on that thing, you know, getting spacing right and the colors right and the text right. And you know, I've realized, and I realized this yesterday with my experience with the Instagram Live, that perfectionism is one of the number one things that's holding me back. If you are being held back by perfectionism, let me know in the comments. Let's just be honest about it. Let's call it out. Perfectionism can be like, I want everything to be set up and ready before I begin. I need to work more on myself and get myself to more of a perfect place, so I'm a more perfect representation of this, this, and this before I do that. I can't share anything on Instagram unless I can get it perfect. The perfect image, the perfect delivery, the perfect words. I can't put my offering out into the world until I've got a perfect sales page or a perfect branding or perfect website. Like, let's get really honest, because it is massive, but it plays out for all of us. Gemma, yeah, to learn more, create more. Hang on. Is this about the perfectionism, or are we back on? I was getting a bit muddled with the comments. Learn more, create more content, read more books. Oh, the and. So all the things you need to do before you can start showing up. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's like delay tactics, definitely. Kylie, perfectionism is fear. So there's probably some of that. Like, my biggest fear is judgment. Judgment and perfectionism are linked. Can you see there's a connection between them? I know for me, I feel there's less chance that I'll be judged if what I share is perfect. Can you see that? Like, if I can clear out and get rid of everything that might not be good enough, if I can, you know, either get myself or my work or the way that I'm going to communicate, whatever, perfect, I'm reducing the chances that I'll be judged. Mm-hmm. But that's beautiful, because there's fear behind perfectionism, always. And it's beautiful to unpack what that fear is for you. And I'll be completely transparent. My fear is, if I show things that are imperfect, if I put things out that are imperfect, my fear is people aren't going to like me and my work anymore, and are going to take their energy away from me. So I sometimes have a fear around releasing a podcast episode that, say, I'm not fully happy with, I don't think is perfect. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to hear this episode and that's going to be it. They're going to be like, I don't want to listen to her anymore. And they're going to, so my fear is that people withdrawing their love and attention and energy away from me. And that's my fear. If I show imperfect parts of myself, people are going to take their love away from me. Just like if I started posting, I don't know, stuff on Instagram that I thought was a bit ugly, people are going to be like, ew, this account's awful, I'm going to unfollow. Like, that's honestly my fear. So we want to look at that. So when I showed up on this live yesterday, oh my goodness, everything in my head was going off about how imperfect it was. And I remember feeling like it was so in that moment, not about being perfect at all. It was about my expression. It was about, how can I find the words for it? Because it was such a real visceral experience in the moment. It was about being willing to be messy, being willing to be real, being willing to be raw, being willing to have people see parts of me that I didn't think were that great and be okay with it. And face that fear of having people not like me, not like what they see, judge me. Like, we've actually got to get to a point where even if people judge me, we're still okay. Like, why are we taking on other people's judgment of us? Why do we make that mean something about us? How caged are we? How stuck are we? When our ability to be ourselves and be fully self-expressed is all tied up on how other people are going to receive that. Amanda, it's all about being vulnerable and authentic. Yes. And I can do that when I sing because I'm in the moment. Beautiful. But when I have time to think about it, it's way more difficult. So too much overthinking. Amanda, for me, that's why live video, I think, works for me, because I have to be in the moment. Yeah, thank you for that share, Amanda. I love that you guys are all being really real and vulnerable here. That's why I think I love live video, because I'm live. I'm there. People are listening. I have no option but just to be present and just to show up. But, you know, when I do like an Instagram post, I'm just sitting there behind the scenes for hours, tweaking every word and tweaking my grammar and editing the image and changing the color tone. Like, I can be there for like days. Amanda, the only way you get good at Instagram Live or any type of live, Facebook Live or anything, is you do it. Just, I'm sure you probably found that with performing. I don't know your experience with performing, but I'm guessing you're probably a very different performer now to who you were when you very first started. through the practice and the getting up and the just being in there, you have developed the confidence and the comfortability and the trust in yourself. Yeah, and even doing the videos in our groups, 100%. Gemma, I've loved the vulnerability of posting videos for you. It's so freeing. Yes, yes. I'm glad you're getting a glimpse of that because this is the key. So I've asked you here, what is your biggest fear about not being perfect or not doing something perfectly? You know, I've realized for me, and if any of you identify as being someone, I think most of you do, being someone who feels like part of their work in the world is related to self-expression, is related to expressing yourself in some shape or form, whether it's through music, whether it's through writing, whether it's through teaching and coaching others, whether it's through running live events, whatever it is, whether it's through, ending up promoting your work online. If you feel like there is an element of self-expression to some extent in what your purpose is, that has to become more important than being perfect and getting it right, than being liked or loved, any of it. And that is the only time I'm able to really step forward is when the scales shift and I make my self-expression more important than anything. So for example, I'm going to post something this afternoon and I'm sure people will see the photo and think there's nothing wrong with it. But I mean, I have looked at the photo a million times and I'm nitpicking everything about it. And part of me just doesn't want to post it because I'm like, ugh, I just like don't like posting photos that I'm not fully happy with. But it's so like my self-expression is more important than anything. So I have something to say. I want to express it. And if that means being willing to post a photo that doesn't feel perfect, then I'm going to do it. All right. Kylie, it's part of why I like to go live rather than record, because if I was recording it, I'd never post it. Yeah. I guess that's what works for me too, Kylie. Because I know a lot of people do IGTVs and they record the video and then upload it. And I want to do that, but I'm like, I'm going to do that video 100 times before I post it. Whereas going live gives me no option. I'm there. I just have to show up. So I want you to also identify, where are you ready to start practicing being imperfect so that you can begin sharing and expressing and creating, even if it's messy. We gotta let it be messy. It's okay to be messy. Messy is beautiful. Messy is real. Can you think of one place where you want to start leaning into being imperfect, not having it all together, not having it absolutely ready before you share it? Yeah, I want to say everything, says Gemma. I'm getting sick and tired of perfectionism. It's exhausting. It is bloody exhausting. I'm sick of it too. That's where I got to yesterday. I'm like, I'm so... And you know what? You almost need to get to a point where you're like, you're absolutely done. That you don't even care anymore. I don't care if people judge me. I don't care if people don't like it. I just like have to get past this because it's just draining the life out of me. I also ask you here, and this is an interesting one to think about, and this is good around judgment. I want you to write out whose opinions, thoughts, or judgments you're most worried about. Who is it? And what are you most specifically are you worried they might think? So, I'm so vain. I literally for ages would have this story that, you know, because there's guys that I used to date that watch my Instagram. And I get really caught up in not wanting to post photos that would make them, it's so stupid, but I'm saying it out loud, would not make them think that I'm like, have gone downhill and I'm less attractive. Like there's still a little part of me that still wants, is still worried about what they're thinking about me. I think about my peers and I worry about my peers' judgment of me. And I sometimes, what do I think there? What am I worried they're going to think? I'm worried they're going to think a lot of things. Sometimes I think I go through everything. They're going to think my work is really superficial, or they're going to think my work is too deep, or they're going to think my work is try hard, or they're going to think they're going to judge what I'm creating and be like, oh, she's charging too much money or not enough money, like everything. And then I worry about my audience not liking what I'm sharing and not wanting to follow me anymore. So I'm just putting it all out there. That's the stuff that goes through my head. And we need to look at that. And then I ask you, get honest. Where do you actually hold these thoughts about yourself? We talked about this in our group coaching call. Where are you judging yourself in the exact way that you fear they might be judging you? And this comes back, this all comes back to self-love. And self-love's too broad of a term, but it all comes back to dropping and shifting out of this place of judgment with ourselves and moving into a much kinder, softer, supportive, heart-driven, loving, encouraging space with ourselves. And so, for example, what really helps me, and have you ever heard Brené Brown talk about the vulnerability hangover? It's a really beautiful term. It's like, you know, those moments you put yourself out there and you're vulnerable. And for a minute there, you're like, yeah, I'm cool with that. And then suddenly, you have this wave of like, oh my God, I'm mortified. I feel mortified and horrified that I've done that. And there's this vulnerability hangover of like, oh no, did I really, oh no. Oh my God, I can't believe that's out there, you know? What has helped me through that is I have to bring in really loving, encouraging self-talk. So if I put myself out there and be vulnerable, maybe I run a masterclass and I can see I'm a little bit all over the shop. I do a live and I look nervous or I look clunky. I post an Instagram photo and I don't really like the photo. I post a podcast and I can tell there's some errors in it and they bother me. There's two options of what I'm going to do with that. I can either go into so much self-judgment. Connie, that was crap. I can't believe you put that out there. You look stupid. This is pathetic. How have you not got this perfect yet? Why do you still get nervous on lives? You've done them so many times. You should just delete it. You should take that down. Have you ever done that? Sometimes I post stories and I'm like, oh, I should just delete that. That was so stupid. So I could do that and I can go into massive self-judgment. And if I go into massive self-judgment, my fear is everyone else is going to be judging me in the exact same way. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to be thinking you look stupid. They're going to be thinking you don't even know what you're talking about. They're going to be thinking you look silly. They're going to be thinking that that was dumb and they're going to unfollow you, whatever. Or, and this is what I have to do, I have to bring in really gentle, kind, encouraging, nurturing self-talk. All right, Con. First of all, I'm really proud of you for showing up. Okay? I'm just so proud of you for showing up because I know that was hard and I know that was scary. And I know you felt really vulnerable. And I know every part of you didn't want to do it, but you did it. And so I'm so proud of you. You did it. You did it. And I'm so proud of you for doing it. Okay. Now I get it. It wasn't perfect. I get it. You're a bit nervous. I get it. You didn't articulate yourself really well. I get it. That wasn't the best photo of you. I get it. It wasn't your best podcast you've ever done. And that's okay. It's okay. You did the best you could in that moment. If we think we can do better next time, beautiful. Let's reflect on that. Let's reflect on this and be like, okay, what can I learn from that experience? How maybe can I do that better next time? Where do I need to work on feeling more calm or clear? Where do I need to work on the way I articulated that or how prepared I am before I do a live, whatever it is. Okay, we'll work on that. Beautiful. There's always room for growth. Awesome. But here's what I saw you did really well. You showed up. You really spoke from the heart. You were courageous. You were vulnerable. You connected really well with your audience. You let them really see and feel what you were feeling. That was awesome. And here's all the little things we're going to work on. I'm so effing proud of you for just doing that. It's okay. I know you feel vulnerable. I know you feel exposed. I know you feel seen, but I love you. And I'm proud of you, and you did a really good job. Okay. Can you feel that? Now, that's a really conscious practice for me, but I have to bring that in. Like, I have to. Because otherwise, I'd just never be able to show up again. And if you can do that, and you can even say to yourself, you know what? Other people might not like it. And if they don't, it's okay. It's okay if people don't align. It's okay if people don't resonate. It's okay if people don't get it. But in that moment, that felt like my truth. That felt like what I wanted to share. And so I shared it, and that's okay. Can you feel that? We all have the ability to do that for ourselves. And that is the only way you're going to be able to move past all of this stuff. Amanda, love your honesty and energy today. Connie, oh, thank you. it's so important to remember that self-talk. So thank you for the reminder. Learning not to take everything so seriously is important to enjoying life without the judgment. Yeah. Yeah. So important. So I've got a couple more. We're getting towards the end. Where am I? Okay. So now that's all of the workbook. Have I covered all of the workbook? We talk a little bit about self-doubt. So what I want to say to you is what I said before with self-doubt is, again, all of these fear-based patterns are ways that we get to stay safe. We get to stay in our comfort zone. We get to avoid potentially losing love, being judged, making a mistake, looking silly. So fear is always protecting us. Okay. Fear is always going to try to keep us coloring within the lines, not ruffling feathers, and being, you know, meek and small and timid and keeping everyone happy. But we know that's not what's going to fulfill us long term, right? Which is why you're all here. And fear as self-doubt is the exact same thing. Okay. Self-doubt is another delay strategy. It's another way that you get to avoid fully stepping in. Because if you 100% believed in yourself, you'd just be in there. You'd be in there showing up, creating, offering, talking, expressing, doing whatever you're feeling called to do. But self-doubt makes us sit and stagnate and question ourselves and mull over things. And should I do this? And should I do that? And is this right? Is that good enough? I don't know. Can I do it? Am I? Is it what? We all know where that gets us. And so like what I said before, when I said this to my friend, what if you didn't have to get rid of self-doubt in order to begin? What if you just bring it with you? So, you know, an example is every time I offer something new in my business, I always have self-doubt. I don't know if people are going to like it. I don't know if it's going to sell. I don't know how many of it I'm going to sell. I don't know how well it's going to be received. I know none of that. And so it's easy for me to doubt it and be like, well, I like this thing, but like, is it going to work? I mean, is it even worth launching it? Should I talk? That self-doubt just has to come with me. It's just a natural part of taking a risk and doing something new. So I bring it with me and I still show up anyway. And I build my belief along the way. Understand every time you take a step and you get a tiny bit of proof or evidence that shows you I can do it. People do like it. Even if one person comments on something you did and says thank you, that's proof or evidence that what you just did was valuable and worth it. So it's not until we step in, you know, and we're willing to just have the experience and we watch ourselves do it, we build that belief in ourselves along the way. When I first started running these masterclasses, the very first time I ran this mastermind, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. Sounded good in my head. I didn't know if it was going to help people. I didn't know if this masterclass structure was going to work. I didn't know if I could run masterclasses like this. I don't know any of it. But I've run this course enough times now that now I just know. I just get on here and I press record and I just go. I've built all this belief in myself and belief in this program through getting out there and just doing it. Gemma, I love that. Step in and build your belief along the way. That's how it works. If you sit here and wait for belief to come along before you do anything, you're going to be waiting a long time. Yeah. So I ask you in the workbook, how does doubting and questioning yourself keep you safe? How does it allow you to stay inside your comfort zone? And what would you be doing differently if you 100% believed in yourself? What risks would you be taking and how would you be moving forward? All right, I'm just going to run through my notes and see if there's anything else that I haven't covered yet. Share with me what's coming up for you guys. What are you feeling? What has been a takeaway for you? What do you want to work on after this masterclass? Now understand, when we're talking about fear, the opposite of fear is love. So in any moment that we're noticing fear energy has taken over our mind or our heart or our actions, it's always an opportunity to call in love, reconnect with love, come back into our hearts, love and support ourselves, choose to show up in a way that would be the most self-loving action or step in that moment. Dawn, it would be writing more about writing. The process was difficult for me. Oh, beautiful. So expressing more about your writing process and being more real and vulnerable about that. That'd be beautiful. If any of you are writing and creating anything, like Amanda's music, Dawn, your writing, anything, please come and share it with us in the group. Let us support you. You know, when you put it out to an audience and you're like, I don't know how these people are going to respond. There's a lot of risk there. But in a group like ours that is filled with so much unconditional love and support, it's a really safe space. So come and share your stuff in there. Who else wants to let me know? Takeaways from today, what you're feeling at the moment, what you're going to be working on. The other thing I was just going to say about, you know, sometimes we have that story that plays out around not being good enough. This is part of the sort of perfectionism as well. You know, but what I'm realizing is, how do we ever measure good enough anyway? All like deciding whether something is good enough or not good enough, all that comes down to is the standards that we have set. Whether we set the bar here and say good enough means it has to be perfect and loved by everyone, or good enough means you just stepped in and gave it your best shot. It's us that decides what's good enough. And so if you want to set yourself up for success, why not decide that there is, why not choose a standard of good enough that allows you to feel good enough rather than always that allows you to, that makes you feel like a failure? You know? It's just a really interesting thing because that's often what our fear is, that things aren't good enough and won't be good enough and we're not good enough. If you peel it all back, it really comes down to that. But understand, it's up to you to decide what good enough means. And I was just thinking about this analogy the other day. I mean, I'll read through your comments in 1 second. You know how when, everyone uses this example, but you know when a baby learns to walk? I remember when my niece learned to walk. And I remember seeing this video of her taking her first step. And it's this little baby, she wasn't even 1 year old at that point, 1 year old. And she's got these big chubby thighs and she's up on her feet and she's wobbling and her like tongue sticking out and she's all over the place. And she's like trying to hold her balance. And she takes this one step and it's clunky and it's wobbly and it's messy. But I could hear her dad, my brother-in-law, on the phone just being like, oh my God, you're walking, you're amazing, look at you, you're incredible, I can't believe it. He was almost crying, right? He was just so stoked by this like chubby little baby just doing this messy first step. In that moment, the standard for her being a success at that have nothing to do with being the perfect walker and looking beautiful and nailing it and being able to take 10 steps. He celebrated her for that tiny, clunky, awkward step and just told her how incredible and amazing and wonderful she was. When did we stop doing that? Isn't it bizarre? You know, if we could be like that with ourselves, if we could take the clunkiest, messiest, most awkward step and look completely silly along the way, but be sitting there on the sidelines cheering ourselves on and being like, oh my God, you did it. You're so amazing. I'm so proud of you. But instead, what do? That was crap. That was shit. That wasn't good enough. What are you even thinking? Who do you think you are to be able to do this stuff? You need to be up here for me to be proud of you. I'm not proud of you. That was pathetic. You know, I really want you to think about it, that example of just how incredible we are at celebrating those little, you know, babies that are just clunky new beginners. Yet we hold ridiculously high standards on ourselves and we criticize and judge ourselves at every turn. Okay. So this is an opportunity this week to be willing to be imperfect, to be messy, to just give it a go, get in the ring, get in the game, start sharing, start expressing, take action, whatever it is, and just love the fuck out of yourself along the way. Sorry to drop an F-bomb, but just support yourself the way you would cheer on that tiny baby that's trying to learn how to walk. That is my encouragement for you this week. Let's see what you're saying. Kylie, I'm feeling lighter. I feel like I don't have to be super confident or super perfect. I can still do it anyway. Yes. Amanda, thanks, Connie. I'm looking forward to working on this fear stuff this week. I'm so good at supporting others and I need to do that more for myself. Beautiful, Amanda. Just imagine turning all of that beautiful energy onto yourself. Gemma. Through the masterclass already, I've started to see moving through my fear has created one of the best experiences in my life already. Absolutely. So I need to keep doing that. And what would happen if the little baby wouldn't have kept trying? Yeah. We have to keep trying over and over and over and over until we figure it out. I mean, isn't that just crushing to think about? If that precious little baby had been yelled at in that moment for not walking perfectly enough. Can you imagine? Like, it breaks my heart. I know how divinely beautiful my niece was at that age. And if anyone had at any point yelled at her, I mean, I would have been there to her defense and just told them to like F off. You know what I mean? Like, how crushing, right? I even actually, there's a book recommendation I want to give you. Something I've been listening to is this guy, James Clear. He's got a book called Atomic Habits. And he talks about building habits are just these tiny, like 1% changes we make consistently. And he's talking about those analogies of where, like, I can't think of the analogy, but he gave the example of like, there's a guy hammering a rock or something. And he hit that rock like 100 times. And on the 101st time, as he hit the rock, it smashed open. And it was not the 101st time that actually caused the rock to break open. It was all of those 100 times in the lead up to it. And then it was just the 101 that cracked it open. And it's this beautiful idea of these tiny, small, incremental changes that we may not think are making a difference, but then at some point they all accumulate and boom, then the big results come. But it's the willingness to just keep showing up, even if we don't even see proof or evidence yet that we're progressing or that we're going to get anywhere, it's going to work out. But we just keep encouraging ourselves to continue. Sophia, I feel jumbled. I'm going to give myself some time to reflect and work through the self-judgment and overthinking that I've created recently. I think the contrast is so strong for me at the moment that I've struggled to resonate today. No problems, love. I feel my body has shut down a little bit as a safety mechanism. I also just want to say I relate to that. So the reason I had an argument with my boyfriend last night is because he's got all these business ideas of things that he thinks I could and should be implementing that he's actually incredibly right about that will really help me move forward. And I became angry and defensive and emotional and sooky and I completely shut down because it's triggering the F out of me. You know, I've got this person really trying to encourage me to move forward and my whole body's like, just wanting to shut down on it because it's really overwhelming and scary. So it's okay. If your body has shut down a little bit, take some space from all of this. I feel like I could be showing up in quite a triggering space today just because of the energy that I can feel I'm in. And if I am, that's totally okay, right? I would work through, yeah, breathing into your body, feeling what you're feeling, a lot of nurturing and self-care, tending to that part of yourself that's feeling afraid, sensitive, unsafe, a little wounded, a little triggered, asking that part of yourself what it's going to need to feel safe, nurturing that, and then revisiting this once you're feeling a little more ready. Oh, beautiful. Dawn, now I feel like my fear is very tiny, looking tentative with a questioning expression. I love seeing my fear is small like this. Yeah, that's how I'm feeling today. I blasted through a lot yesterday and I'm feeling like my fear is small now, but it'll come and go in waves. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your shares. Thank you for your patience with me and my kind of like energy at the start of our class. And thank you for your interactions as always. I love them. You guys are amazing. I will get this uploaded for you. And let's keep going on the journey. So like I said, this week, work on like nurturing yourself through what's coming up if you need it. Being willing to step forward, even if it's messy and imperfect and uncomfortable. Love and support yourself at every turn through what's coming up for you. Call out these fear-driven patterns, self-doubt, comparison, perfectionism, procrastination, fear-based stories, resistance. Call it out. And if you can, find love and support yourself to move forward. Thank you, Kylie. Thank you, Gemma. Thank you. I'm so glad you've enjoyed this. We'll continue the conversation in the Facebook group. I'll see you all on over there. Lots of love, everyone. Have a beautiful day.